Our second reading comes from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Listen for the word of the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This, along with Psalm 130, is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us today. Speak to us the words you would have us hear. Breathe your life anew into us, we pray. Amen. Well, we've been journeying through Lent these past 4 weeks, reflecting on the humanity of Jesus and on our own humanity. We've wandered in the wilderness with the Israelites and been with Jesus as he faced his own wilderness experience and temptation. This morning, the prophet Ezekiel puts us right back into that place of dryness again. Here we're confronted with desolation, death, and the depths of despair. Before we look more closely at chapter 37, let's rewind and learn a little bit about the context of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was living in Jerusalem and training to be a priest during the first Babylonian attack on Jerusalem. Babylonians spared the city, but began taking their first wave of prisoners back to Babylon. Ezekiel was one of those prisoners in the first wave, and he was 25 years old. This book begins 5 years into that exile. He's writing from a refugee camp in Babylon. Ezekiel's 30 now, the age he would have been when he would have been installed as a priest in Jerusalem. But instead of being a priest, Ezekiel has become a prophet. He begins to have visions, like a wheel floating in the sky, and God tells him to do all kinds of strange things to get the attention of God's people living in exile. Then Ezekiel has the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. It's quite a dystopian scene, one like we might read about in a Cormac McCarthy book or see in an episode of The Walking Dead. There are bones everywhere, as far as the eye can see. And speaking of bones, I don't know if your neighborhood has gotten into this, but my neighborhood has gotten really into bones at the time of Halloween. It started a few years ago. A couple of families began having those giant skeletons in your yard. Have you seen those? Like, there's 12-foot skeletons in their yard. Other families have since gotten into it. One family creates a different tableau every day with two skeletons. One day they might be playing cards sitting across a table. The next day they might be playing tennis with tennis rackets in their hand. One time one of them was saving the other by grabbing onto its ankle to pull it out of a culvert. Another family has started a scene with Star Wars with their skeletons, complete with a baby Yoda hanging from a pod in a tree. And the creepiest scene is made up of a dozen or so life-size skeletons crawling all over the front of this one house and even climbing up ladders to get into the windows upstairs. That one takes so much effort every Halloween that they put on Santa hats on the skeletons after Halloween, and I'm not kidding, they leave it up until Christmas. But Ezekiel isn't seeing such a playful image to draw in trick-or-treaters. What he's envisioning, this valley full of dry bones, is horrific. Maybe it reminds him of those that didn't make it out alive when they were taken prisoner, or of those friends and family members who were left behind, who he would never see again. This scene reminds me of learning about Pompeii in Italy when I was a child, and then later going as an adult and seeing the dry bones of the people who had perished in an instant and were left in those same places. This scene reminds me of the war and the crisis in Ukraine. It reminds me of the civil war in Syria. It reminds me of the earthquakes in Turkey and in Syria. Mortal, can these bones live? It reminds me of the earthquake in Haiti over a decade ago. I took the photo that's in the second page of your bulletin, if you want to look at it. It's really small. I took that photo right after the earthquake, a little more than 10 years ago, 6 months after that earthquake. It's a picture of a cathedral that was in ruins after the quake. The ceiling had crushed to the ground, and most of the windows were shattered, except the few colorful ones in that picture. The sun was shining brightly through those windows. When we went outside, an emaciated woman was holding an infant, and she met our group, and she asked me if I would nurse her baby for her, because they both didn't have enough food. Mortal, can these bones live? And living conditions haven't gotten much better in Haiti since then. Now their government has been taken over by gangs who threaten the country with violence. About this time last year, I was attending a Zoom Bible study, and one of the participants was a friend from Haiti. At one point when he spoke, we could hear the sounds of guns being fired in the background. He let us know that gang violence was escalating. When we asked him how he felt about that, he said, "We have to love God and those around us, no matter what, and hope that the gangs will know the peace that passes understanding." Haitian poet Georges Costra has written a poem called Mouvement Nil, or Zilch Movement, about life in Haiti. He writes, "Poverty makes all things faded, crooked, cracked, emaciated, wasted away, dingy, stupid, ground down, pocked. When it's finished, we're exchanging laughter for weeping. We're swapping misery with brothers in order to clutch at blades of grass. On Saturdays, the whole town on the coast gets off by throwing their bodies into the sea like people in the heat. Around here, life burns." The scene from the Valley of Dry Bones reminds me of suffering closer to home. It reminds me of Mississippi after a tornado. It reminds me of someone who has had a spouse, or child, or parent, or sibling, or a close friend die, and who's just trying to figure out how to put it all together. It reminds me of someone who has had a miscarriage. Mortal, can these bones live? It reminds me of someone going through a divorce. It reminds me of someone undergoing chemo or radiation treatments. It reminds me of someone who's losing their body or their mind to disease. Mortal, can these bones live? It reminds me of someone in the throes of addiction. It reminds me of someone struggling with depression. It reminds me of someone who has been betrayed. It reminds me of someone who has lost their job. Mortal, can these bones live? It reminds me of the student struggling, the estranged family, the caregiver who has run out of energy. It reminds me of the panic-stricken parent, of the one who is lonely for companionship, of the one with a new diagnosis or with no diagnosis yet. Mortal, can these bones live? When we're going through difficult, despairing, or even desolate times, we can feel like we're living in the valley of dry bones. We can feel like our careers, our grades, our families, our marriages, our friendships, our bodies, and even our bones are scattered all over the place. How can these bones live again? God asked Ezekiel this question, mortal, how can these bones live? To which Ezekiel responds with something like, that's above my pay grade, God. I don't know. Ezekiel throws the question back to God. Oh Lord, you know. Then can you see it? There, right there, are vivid colors shining through the windows of that broken skeleton building. Can you hear it? My friend from Haiti says, we have to love God and those around us no matter what, and hope that God gives the gangs the peace that passes understanding. Can you feel it? Hope. God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Our Ezekiel passage has 14 verses. Two of those verses describe the dry, desolate scene where everything is bones. But the next 12 verses describe God's reaction to those bones. The rest of the passage is Genesis 2 revisited. Remember Genesis 2, where God formed the man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being? Out of what seemed like nothing, out of dirt, God made human beings, and God breathed, the word here is ruach, the same word for wind and spirit, into them. God breathed into them, giving them life. In these 12 verses, we see the spirit, ruach, everywhere. God promises to put breath in the bones. Ezekiel does what God tells him to do and prophesies to the bones. And can you hear it? There was a noise, bone clacking against bone, rattling as they stacked one onto the other. The foot bones connected to the leg bone, the leg bones connected to the knee bones connected to the thigh bone. Click, clack, stack. And then there were sinews on them, and flesh on the sinews, and skin covering the flesh. But where was the breath? Then God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath, ruach. Thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, ruach. O breath, ruach, and breathe, ruach, upon these slain that they may live. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? In the breath, in the wind blowing through. Ezekiel does what God says, and the breath, ruach, came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet. And then God says to Ezekiel, these bones were the whole house of Israel. They thought they had no reason for hope, and that God had forgotten them, but God saw them out of their depths, out of their darkest valleys. God recreated them. God brought them life anew. Hear, O church, that these are words for us too. God sees when we're wandering in the desert and when it feels like our lives are made up of scattered bones. God longs to bring streams in those deserts and breath into those bones. God is a God of resurrection and new life. That's the Easter story. More on that in just 2 weeks. Did you notice how much God used Ezekiel in this passage? God took Ezekiel to the Valley of Dry Bones and showed him all of God's people. And God asked Ezekiel to be the one to speak to those bones, to speak to that pain. God asked Ezekiel to speak to the breath, and God asked Ezekiel to tell the people of Israel about God's promises of hope and new life to them. God partnered with Ezekiel, and God wants to partner with us too. God shows us the pain of the world around us, and God wants us to enter into those spaces. Poet and pastor Jan Richardson wrote a book called The Cure for Sorrow, a book of blessings for times of grief after her husband died, when her life felt like dry bones. In it, she has a blessing called The Blessing You Should Not Tell Me. Listen for what she says. Do not tell me there will be a blessing in the breaking, that it will ever be a grace to wake into this life, so altered, this world so without. Do not tell me of the blessing that will come in the absence. Do not tell me what does not kill me will make me strong, or that God will not send me more than I can bear. Do not tell me this will make me more compassionate, more loving, more holy. Do not tell me this will make me more grateful for what I had. Do not tell me I was lucky. Do not even tell me there will be a blessing. Give me instead the blessing of breathing with me. Give me instead the blessing of sitting with me when you cannot think of what to say. When we don't know what to say or what to do in reaction to seeing the dry bones in the life of someone else, God says, prophesy to the breath. We can call on the Spirit to be with that person and to be with us. And we can sit with them and we can breathe with them. And when we feel like we are made up of dry bones, we can, like the psalmist, cry out to God out of our very depths. And we can see in Psalm 139, we can see and know that there's no place we can go to get away from God's spirit, ruach, or God's presence. The psalmist writes, if I were to ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take on the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there, your right hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. The story of the Valley of Dry Bones names suffering that's common to our humanity. As sure as the sun rises, we will all face struggles and suffering. It's part of the fabric of what it means to be a human being, but also woven into our very fabric of being is hope and breath that ties us to the very breath of God. So church, let us hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love and great power to redeem. Amen. Dear ones, let the love of God settle deep into your bones. Breathe in the breath of the Spirit to sustain you. Sit with one another and breathe, just as Jesus would. And let us go in hope, knowing that we do not go alone, because the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the constant companionship of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, go with us now and forevermore. Amen.